As promised, here is some extra audio from David Weinberger's conversation with Clay Shirky. Find the rest of this episode on our site at blogs.law.harvard.edu/mediaberkman.
If there's an entrant that we have not yet envisioned, for example, either Ethernet over Powerline that actually is fantastic and works incredibly well and is integrated with the smart grid, and this is the Robin Chase stuff, for example, or
I grimace when I hear the word smart and network. I've got the Eisenberg gene of anything smart and anything networked together in the same sentence just makes my hair stand on end. But
such as it is, Clay.
Such as it is. Exactly right. My hair stands on end.
The idea of Robin Chase's idea for the smart grid, many other people's as well, is that the smart grid ought to be using dumb protocols.
Yes, so that's fair enough.
Right, so it is a terminological contradiction, but not a technological one. Or the opening of spectrum. If, for example, to go back to David Reed, of cognitive radios and open spectrum, if that were to pan out, all of a sudden there would be a new entrant which might make Michael Powell's third vision there suddenly almost inescapable.
That's right. Now, so almost inescapable, except that right now, software-defined radio works on a kind of ball at the end of a string model, which is to say you run some pipe to a neighborhood and then you provision the nearby domiciles and offices using some sort of wireless technology. But you still have to go to the established players for backhaul. And so just getting the last, the so-called last mile wired up doesn't yet get you out of the desire to create inconveniences I then charge you to solve. It really has to reach right into the internet backbone. And so you either need large-scale provisioning, a la the way WiMAX is intended to do, although mostly doesn't do it because it's licensed spectrum, or you need mesh. And meshing, the idea of David Reed's idea of cooperation gained by having the nodes essentially do their own local routing.
So that you actually get more bandwidth with more nodes on rather than the seemingly obvious thing that you divide it and you get less.
Right. So 1934 style engineering, the engineering that was instantiated by the FCC, said, yes, sharing creates loss and therefore we're limiting sharing. It's in fact illegal to share. It's illegal to rebroadcast on licensed radio spectrums. Whereas, as David has shown, sharing actually creates bandwidth out of participation. Again, the logic of group forming network. I have been seeing presentations of meshing tools, often developed, under DARPA contracts, right? So you see three helicopters flying around meshing with tanks and soldiers on the battlefield and so forth. And it always works in the test range, and it doesn't, by and large, work in the field. So there seems to be – there are some conditions under which meshing can work, but they seem not to be robust enough to take all the range of real-world conditions you would expect. And I don't know whether that's because – The end of the engineering, just finishing the problems, is still what's to be done, or if there is something fundamentally harder about meshing than it turned out to be. Certainly, there's an analogy with the public key cryptography stuff, which we all got very excited about 10 years ago, and which has largely not panned out because it turns out that trust in many-to-many networks is just way harder on purely practical levels than anybody had understood. Meshing may have that same characteristic, which is it may not be possible to make dynamic networks that route as well as static networks. And so I think it's not just software-defined radio, it's not just cognitive radio that opens up this possibility of a third player, but also getting meshing protocols right. So you don't basically just postpone to one hop down the network the fact that you got to cut a deal with Verizon in order to get internet connectivity.